Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Boart Longyear Full Year 2021 Results Webcast. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. To adjust your viewing experience, you can click the black toolbar at the top of your Zoom window where it says View Options. The chat function has been disabled for attendees, but we'll have a Q&A portion during today's presentation. So if you have a question, please post your question in the Q&A panel. You'll see a Q&A button at the bottom of your screen. I would now like to introduce the host of today's event, Tony Shafer, Head of Investor Relations. Mr. Shafer, you may begin.
Good morning to those of you in Australia, and good afternoon to those of you in North America. Welcome to our full year 2021 results webcast. Today, we released our year-end press release, financial statements, and results presentation. The documents are also available on our website. With me today is our CEO, Jeff Olson, and our CFO, Miguel Desdin. Following our prepared remarks, we'll take your questions. Moving to slide two, please refer to our forward-looking language for today's presentation, which is also included in our press release. I'd now like to turn the call over to Jeff.
Thank you very much, Tony. I'm Jeff Olson. I'm President and CEO of Boart Longyear. Let's move on to slide four, Tony. I want to talk a little bit about, in a way, we're reintroducing ourselves into the marketplace. We've had a rebirth of sorts with our recapitalization last year, which many of you will be aware of. And it is important that we introduce the uniqueness we have in the industry and how diverse we are in many ways to this, on this call. Now, how are we diverse? We're diverse from a revenue mix perspective, including geographies, types of drilling services. Some drilling companies call themselves specialty. Well, we do all those specialties and then some. Best-in-class product offering. And what I'm going to talk about a little bit more later on is revolutionary technology platform. There's also a diverse exposure to the most attractive and broad exposure to the most attractive geographies and commodities. We also have what I think is a unique business focus. We've gone through a lot of changes over the years to adapt to market conditions and capital structure conditions, and we've learned to have a very strong focus on our business. That's both top line and bottom line. And driving change through what we think is disruptive new technologies in our GDS group is also an area where that makes us quite unique out in the marketplace. Boart Longyear has been a key player for, more than 130 years, and we're reinventing ourselves all the time as the world changes and the market conditions changes. Let's move on to slide five, Tony. So we have three business units: drilling services, which is an industry-leading provider of drilling services. They're global. We're both specialized and diversified. There's about 4,000 employees in this group. And we operate on average more than 300 rigs around the globe. From a products perspective, we offer the most advanced tooling and rigs specifically engineered for performance and long life. You can call this engineered by drillers for drillers. So we know what we're doing because we're going to use the same drill rigs and tooling to help our customers on the drilling services side. We've got a little under 1,000 employees in this business with six manufacturing sites. And geological data services, which is our newest part of our business, we're redefining the future of what mineral exploration can be. Got a good slide on this later. I won't steal the thunder too much, but we're very excited about this. Right now, there's only 65 employees in this area, but we're growing rapidly. Across all of these three segments of our business, we have a very experienced, deep-benched management team. Been in the industry a long time. We now have, we're proud of, a very strong balance sheet that allows us to compete even better in the marketplace than we have over the last few years. We've maintained a very global footprint, operating on five continents. In total, we have about 650 drill rigs. We have a you know, we're very proud of our safety record, probably first. We're going to, that is what we're most proud of. We put a lot of attention and pride into our safety record, and our attention on it is utmost every single day. We have a large customer base, and a lot of those are some of the major drillers, but we service all customers in the mining industry. Let's talk a little bit about, on slide six, about exploration investment going forward. Now, the recovery of our industry in 2021 probably was a little quicker than we anticipated very early on. You know, versus the first estimates that S&P came out with, you know, they're now saying that in 2021, exploration budgets grew about 35%. That's much better than they were thinking. They're saying that they're going to grow another 15% in 2022. We like all forecasts, I'm sure these are wrong, but the question is, you know, how wrong and in which direction are they going to be? Much more important in this environment is the supply problem than the demand problem. I think there is, we believe in the demand cycle. We think supply is going to be what's going to drive our industry going forward, lack of supply. And that's exactly in the heart of what we can help with as we help customers not only find and improve their resources to reserves, but also help them to exploit those reserves. Goldman Sachs has said that they see a super cycle for the next decade, and metals and mining fundraising has increased about 78% in 2021. So there's always a potential for macro events to change this outlook. And of course, we've had some pretty big macro events in the last couple of days. But our view is that we will likely see very strong demand for our services for several years to come. We think this is going to be a fairly long cycle. Let's move on to slide seven. Operational and financial performance. Not to steal Miguel's thunder a little bit, but we are very proud of these results. You've got a lost time incident rate decreasing by 40%, revenue increasing by 40%, adjusted EBITDA increasing by 87%, net debt as a result of the recapitalization decreasing 81%, liquidity improving, and capital deployed up 81%. So these are very strong results in any environment. Let me just say that there's been strong margin growth as well throughout this period. We've followed the growth that you're going to see in the results of many of the major miners who also invest well throughout the cycle. In many regions and drilling types, we're fully deployed at the moment with the drill fleet that we have. Our biggest customers are already looking forward to 2023 and trying to secure drills and for projects that they see important in 2023. Given the demand on the drilling side of our business. And as a result of this, we're seeing price increases and expecting pricing loss of the many past years to continue to be recovered. So combined with our improved efficiencies and cost structure, this will lead to some margin expansion, we believe, going forward. If you look at slide eight, creating a sustainable future for our stakeholders. We've got about a little over 5,000 employees across 26 countries. And this 5,000 employees performed 55,000 training courses were completed in 2021. You can tell that we have a significant focus on training across our business, and this attention to safety pays dividend in the fact that we send our employees home safely in an industry-leading way. The next box on this slide says 15 by 20, and this is our way of saying that we have a target of having a diversity goal of 15% female employees by the end of 2025. Now, we're almost at 10% now, but As you can imagine, in our SG&A or our back office parts of our business, we have a lot of female employees, but not as many on the operating side. We are beginning to have that. We've got drill crews on several continents that are comprised of women, and they are performing very well. And we think this is a goal that we need to have going forward. We also believe that some of our technology advances will help us to improve this ratio through 2025. We are also very proud of our leadership training programs, and we call these Bort Longyear Academy. And we put in 2021, we put 485 employees through our Bort Longyear Academy, and we think that is going to pay dividends as we create better leaders who serve our customers better and create a more efficient business going forward. And by the way, that helps with attraction in a difficult time to attract good people. We want the best, and offering training helps with that as well. So if we move on to drilling services, revenue increased about 35% last year. And as I said, these are strong volumes. And in fact, if you have to go back to about 2013, you see these kinds of volumes in our drilling services business. You also see there's very strong margin growth, as I mentioned earlier. A lot of this is on the back of those major miners that I talked about. And we see strong prospects in the future as we talk to our customers and we look at what the demand is out there, and we look at how they're approaching their next projects and opportunities. This kind of demand, combined with the work that we've done on our cost structure over the last few years, is going to pay dividends going forward. Looking at slide 10, which is our global products group, you can see that, as expected, this business leads in a market recovery. It'll lead a little bit quicker than drilling services. It is smaller than drilling services, but it certainly comes out of the gate very quickly. Revenue increased 53% last year, and EBITDA increased 148%. Strong sales volumes, but we also have very strong backlogs and a healthy book-to-bill ratios out there, which means that even as we're getting strong sales, we're replacing those sales with strong bookings. A lot of effort has gone into improving manufacturing output and efficiencies in 2021, and these manufacturing improvements and prices have achieved to offset some of those rising costs that you are very familiar with out there. I'm sure you've seen steel, but also labor and freight costs that have been rising dramatically. And so we need to offset those. The next slide I'd like to talk about is our GDS. Now, we're using the word revolutionizing, and it's a disruptive technology on purpose, because we believe it is. It's probably the least well-understood part of the Bort Longyear portfolio, but in an area where we are very excited. We call it revolutionizing because it helps our customers so much, helps them with cost savings. Clearly, we can do things more efficiently, save them a dramatic amount of money on their exploration or even their processing efforts on processing ore. It improves accuracy. It improves accuracy from the technology itself, which we believe we have a unique approach to, but also because it's done on site instantaneously. So all of the errors associated with chain of custody are eliminated with this kind of a technology, particularly in TruScan, and of course, much faster results. Our TruScan technology can reduce the time to log core by over 60%. And importantly, it leaves a digital record to drive consistency, which is also an issue as you log core and do things in the process there, with multiple eyes on different sets of core. This will lead to greater consistency. It also reduces the time from drill core to assay from about one month to a day. So speed is significantly improved. And on-site sampling and higher definition assays can significantly reduce carbon emissions by up to 95% on core freight. So this is, we think, a very good message in terms of ESG. Okay, I'd like to turn it over to Miguel Desen, our Chief Financial Officer, and he'll go through some of the details on our financial results.
Thank you, Jeff. Looking at the financial results, you'll see a dramatic improvement in the business year over year, with significantly higher financial performance across the board in what turned out to be an exceptional year. Before I get to the specific numbers, I want to step back and point out several significant items from 2021. First, timing is so important in the business world, and during 2021, our timing was thankfully quite good. During the year, COVID restrictions eased and the mining sector accelerated. We successfully recapitalized the business and right-sized our balance sheet. Those items jointly contributed to our strong results, and we as an organization turned a corner. Secondly, long-term growth, both top line and bottom line, is now part of our story. Given the last few years, being able to think and talk about growth is wonderful. We started down that path during the year and began putting plans in place to support the organization's growth targets. As part of those plans, we started focusing on managing liquidity with a long-term growth focus. As an example of that, our emphasis on working capital and expanding our ABL facility through the first half of the year. The expanded facility will help us balance growth, work through supply chain issues, and invest in working capital. We ended the year in a good place. I'm thrilled about what we expect to accomplish in 2022. Now, to the results on page 13, revenue for the year of $921 million was up $264 million, or 40% year over year. Drilling services revenue for the year of $615 million was up $159 million, or 35%. But products revenue of $307 million was up $106 million, or 53%. Adjusted EBITDA increased from $60 million in 2020 to $112 million in 2021. Primarily from the flow-through of the higher revenue, which was a result of the strong demand for our products and services across all regions. Operating cash flow of $3 million decreased $46 million year over year, primarily as a result of additional investments in inventory to help navigate supply chain constraints and ensure we meet our customers' commitments. Net working capital as a percentage of revenue was aided by the higher trailing 12-month revenue, and as a result, ended the year at 28%, which was a decrease of 2.5 percentage points year over year. Capital expenditures for the year totaled $58 million, which was an increase of $23 million from the prior year. And net debt decreased $691 million, or 81% year over year, as a result of the recapitalization that was completed in early October. Turning to page 14, on the revenue bridge, we show the outstanding increase in revenue, which I mentioned a minute ago. Clearly, the year-over-year comparison in absolute terms is distorted by the COVID disruptions in 2020, but even after adjusting for that, the revenue growth in 2021 was excellent. Most of the increase was volume-related, but we also experienced price growth as we continued to work to offset rapidly rising costs. On page 15, you will see the benefit of the higher volume and price, along with improved operational efficiencies, all of which are partially offset by higher costs. Some of those costs were intentionally added in SG&A to support growth, not only in 2021, but for the future as well. As an example, we've recently added several new positions, including a director of pricing, a director of investor relations, and a vice president of manufacturing and supply chain, amongst others. Finally, on page 16, we show the year-over-year liquidity bridge. For the year, the company generated $70 million of cash from operating activities, used $44 million for working capital, used another $23 million for interest and taxes, and had $53 million of capital expenditures net of $5 million of asset sales. At the end of the year, we had a cash balance of $26 million and $21 million available on the ABL, resulting in a year-end liquidity balance of $47 million. All told, 2021 was a very strong year, and with the significant tailwinds we have, we're looking forward to another one. That concludes my remarks, and I'll now turn the call back over to Jeff.
Okay. So let's talk about slide 18, which is, what about the future? You know, we're have a very strong belief that 2022 is going to be another good year. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about growth in this area. It's the mining sector is expected to continue to grow. And exploration investment will grow, and therefore development will grow, and that will result in more drilling and selling more drilling products. So we think there's a strong tailwind in the marketplace and fundamentals in the marketplace as well. Customer demand, we hear it from our customers. We see it in the projections of industry leaders and analysts. And so, and we believe it because we get that confirmation from our customer base. So where's it going to come from? Well, we do believe there's going to be volume expansion, both on the revenue side and on the EBITDA side. We think there's going to be some competitive pricing that has to happen. Given these kinds of market conditions, there has to be some competitive pricing adjustments going forward, and that will show up in both revenue and EBITDA. And we believe that we're going to see some very good adoption of the more unique technologies in the drilling services, in the GDS business. And I'm very proud to say that we've introduced a new gyro product this year. And it's just coming to the marketplace right now. And so that I think will also have good adoption in the marketplace as the year goes on. We'll also leverage the use of GDS technologies in lots of different ways in our business to understand what markets we can address better, whether they're exploration, whether they're closer to the mine, in terms of helping in operational impacts as well. So we think there's lots of areas to grow our business going forward. And let's talk a little bit about other things we're gonna do in 2022 on the last slide. And we have said before that we're gonna explore a dual listing on the TSX. We'll do that. We don't know what the answer there is. We haven't done all that work, but we'll explore it because it provides a potentially broader access to capital in the future. It also matches the fact that most of our existing shareholders are North American based, and of course our headquarters are in Salt Lake City as well. We intend to accelerate the growth of GDS and do it aggressively. The other thing that we're going to be working on, you can see it already starting to pop into our presentations, is broadening our ESG program. Now, we haven't ever issued a separate ESG report, but our intention is to issue one just ahead of the AGM. And so we're working on that now, and we think we have a fantastic ESG story to tell the marketplace. We've been doing some very good things. And a lot of our products really lend itself to furthering ESG initiatives, and we're going to highlight that by issuing a separate report. We believe, as I said earlier, there's margin expansion opportunities, both on the volume side, on the price side, and how we target certain segments of the business, of the market that are growing rapidly. We will maintain a conservative balance sheet. So, it was hard fought to get here. We're here, we're not giving that up, that's for sure. But we think there's plenty of opportunities to grow this business and fund it in ourselves. But that will also mean we're continuing to look for opportunistic ways to grow. And some of those may be geographic. As you know, we have grown in the past few years in a couple different jurisdictions. And we think that we'll continue to do that where those opportunities arise. We'll always look at our portfolio and make decisions on where it makes to invest or maybe change our investment. But we think there's lots of future targets for us. We're very optimistic about the future. And we're very proud of the 2021 results that give us a good ramp, off ramp, if you will, to a strong 2022. So with that, I'd like to open it up for questions.
Just a reminder for everyone, if you have a question, please press the Q&A button at the bottom of your screen. You can add your questions there in the Q&A panel. Thanks. We're not seeing any questions come up, but if you do have any questions, please post it in that Q&A panel.
Certainly happy to answer any questions. Maybe the results were so good, there's no questions. So, operator, are there any questions now?
Yes, actually, there is a question that just come up. Where do you see the biggest growth opportunities for GDS?
The biggest growth opportunity in GDS? I would answer that question in both a short-term perspective and a longer-term perspective. In a short term, you're going to see some significant growth on the tooling side of our business, particularly as we introduce the Gyro into the marketplace. And we have other products on our roadmap, but those can come to market very quickly. Because there are established markets for products like that, we believe there's a significant opportunity for growth in the shorter term. We do see some strong growth on the TruScan side of our business, which in a way is a service. That long term will, of course, be the fundamental driver of the GDS business going forward. We believe that technology is truly unique. We are improving it all the time. It's also a technology platform, so we're adding technologies to it as we speak. And we think that that is going to be something that is going to be changing in the way work is done in our business and fundamentally disrupt the way resources are defined and how reserves are delineated. So I would say longer term, our growth is going to be on the TruScan side.
Thanks for that, Jeff. We do have some more questions that have come in. Another one is, you talk about geographical growth. Can you expand on what countries you're looking at?
Well, I would certainly say that we're going to see significant growth in what I would call the first world countries in the coming year, in the sense that the staples to the mining industry in North America, Canada, the U.S., and Australia. We're going to see growth in all of those areas. I wouldn't discount growth in Latin America. I think the copper story is going to be very strong. So we're going to see growth there. It may be a little bit lagged over some of the growth in Canada, US, and Australia, but I still think that's a very prospective place. And by the way, there are no regions that I think won't see growth. So it's a good story all the way around.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeff. Okay, here's another question. Can you please share your thoughts on the working capital and CapEx needs next year to support the growth?
I'll give that one to Miguel.
Yeah, so working capital is a challenge at the moment because of the extended supply chain issues. And as a result, we're seeing in transit times up to 30 days longer than they usually take to some regions. So there's a significant amount of investment in working capital that's actually on the water in transit at any one time until some of these supply chain issues start to get resolved. So, you know, we think that that could start happening in the second half of the year, depending on, you know, what happens in the rest of the world. That might be a little optimistic given the results of the last few days, but you know, we're cautiously optimistic that that particular issue will resolve itself. We still have a significant amount of working capital that was budgeted to be invested as our growth takes off in 2022, which obviously will support all of that growth going forward. On the capital side, we have a pretty significant capital plan this year. It's spread not evenly because obviously drilling services is 70% of our business, but it is spread across all of our businesses. We think that plan will also produce a significant amount of growth, again, not only for 2022, but 2023 as well.
Great. Thank you, Miguel. Here's another question. Can you talk about some of the supply chain issues that you see?
Yeah, so I think I just mentioned the big one, which is the in-transit times that we're seeing to some parts of the world. As I mentioned a minute ago, it's just taking much longer to get the inventory across the water and actually into DCs, into local DCs, and then be able to distribute from there. I think that's probably the biggest issue that we're facing at the moment.
Okay, great. And where do you see the biggest opportunities for EBITDA growth?
Sorry, for what?
For EBITDA growth.
We have a fairly aggressive budget for 2022, and we think that it's going to be a good year across the business. I think that drilling services is going to have a tremendous year. They started out the year relatively well. Products as well has a big backlog and a lot of demand. Jeff mentioned their book to bill, which is fantastic. Those two businesses for us are gonna drive significant growth in 2022.
Now, I add to that, we saw incremental growth on a percentage basis in the products business above the DS business in 2021, which we would have expected. That would be normal in our business that products moves a bit quicker than DS. I would consider that kind of growth would be more balanced in 2022.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jeff and Miguel. We've got one last question. Where are you feeling inflationary pressure?
Miguel?
We actually have been dealing. It's a little bit different by business. In drilling services, the most challenging area is labor and wage inflation. Labor makes up about 60% of the DS costs, so increases to that are the most significant impact for that business. In product, the biggest inflationary pressures that we have all come from raw materials used in production. So steel would be an example of that. You know, we've seen a pretty significant rise in steel over the last 6 or 9 months. although thankfully in at least North America, it appears to have crested. But those are where most of the inflation comes from for the businesses.
Okay, great. So we don't have any other questions. So thank you so much for that, Jeff and Miguel.
Thank you.